Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to another Larry Huck Ministries podcast. We pray this teaching will fill you with God's wisdom, anointing, and revelation knowledge. Thank you for your prayers and faithful support.
Hallelujah. Stay standing. My Father's house shall be called what? A house of prayer. We serve a God that does miracles. I want you to believe God for miracles. I'm going to have Tiz pray. Maybe your family needs to be saved. Maybe you need a miracle of healing. You know, I know you all know this, but let me say this. You know, after every first service, when I'm teaching, I come down and I'm available. Tiz and I are available. We have to still keep Tiz a little isolated, but I'm available for prayer. If you want prayer, then you come down at the end of the services. Let us lay hands on you. And because of what God has done for Tiz, what God has done for Lion, there is nothing you can bring us that I can't say to you, God can do something you've never seen before. And I really believe that that's one of the directions God wants to take this church. That people around the world can say, and pray with me, because I'm thinking about, should we do something where we invite the world to come once every 2 months or something, and we do a special service where we go to the other room and people can come in, whatever it is. But I feel a new anointing. Yeah. I feel a different anointing that I know that I can pray for you, or Tiz can pray for, or any of us can. And we can say, God can do. This is happening, that's happening. God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything we can ask or think. And you know what? Can I tell you a story? Years ago, when we were in with our people in Portland, and we did a miracle service, and we had people come up. We, you know, taught, and then we prayed, and then we had people come up and testify. Amazing miracles. Amazing miracles. We saw amazing things. As we were leaving, I was walking off, and our offices were off to the right, and I was leaving. And there was a lady there, an African-American lady that was, I think she was a lawyer from Seattle, Washington. Beautiful lady, businesswoman. And as I'm leaving, she said, Pastor, would you pray for me? I came all the way to Seattle and knew you were doing a miracle service, and I need this. And so we'd already prayed. We'd already had testimony. But as I was leaving, she said, would you pray for me? And I don't remember what it was, but I think it was in the way of a healing, and God healed her. And as we went back into my office, I had my guys with me and stuff, and I said, I've got to get to the point where I can teach that you don't need someone to lay hands on you. And that's what I said too, and I think we're going to get there more and more, but God spoke to my heart and he said, that'll never happen. There'll always be those who need the elders to anoint them with oil. God wants all of our faith level to be up here. But as can I be honest with you? You know, we need money. Money's like dust. We can see money. You need this. But we got to a place that when Lion got sick and then Tiz got sick, there is nothing. I can go make money. I can go get another job. I can, you know, if I lose one job, I can get another job. I can do that. And of course, God will help me. But God allowed us to get to a point that there's nothing we could do. I could not make it better, but he could. He could. You understand? And so that's why sometimes God allows you and I, he doesn't cause it, but he allows us to go through something so that when we get to, I was talking with some Jewish friends in Israel, because they all are amazed. They're all just shouting for joy of Tiz's miracle and Lion's miracle. I mean, it's a major subject over there. And I said, you know, God shared with me that though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and this one Jewish, Orthodox Jewish friend said, you know what the word as you walk through? That word is actually in Hebrew is you're not walking. You're being carried. He said it's not just that God is walking through with you.
Right.
It's like he's carrying
you.
That's
exactly right. Amen.
And so this is why when you're going through something, sometimes maybe you need somebody. You're going through it and you're looking at what the bank said and you're looking at what the mortgage said and you're looking at what the doctor said. Sometimes you need somebody that will come in agreement with you. You're doing your best to stand, and when you're doing the best to stand, you stand. But sometimes you need somebody to come in agreement with you. And so that's why that's the miracles that God gives you is not just for you.
Right.
It's so that you can pass the word on.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what I read. Let me tell you what I've experienced. And you're a part of this family. And you're a part of this family. And you can say to someone, I know what God did for Lion. I know what God did for Tiz. I know what God did for me. And I know what God can do for you. Because God is no respecter of persons.
Yes.
And whenever you see or hear of a miracle in somebody else's life, what does that mean? Say, I'm next.
Yes.
Lift up your neighbor's hands across the building. Tiz, would you say a prayer for everybody here and all of our wonderful, wonderful Stream
yes.
family around
yes.
the world?
Father, we're so grateful to be in the middle of what you're doing in the world. But Father, we're so grateful to know you and to have you in the middle
yes.
of our lives, our hearts,
yes.
our families. And Father, today we stand together. We stand in one mind and one accord. But Lord, we are coming into agreement not only with each other, but we're coming into agreement with you, your promises, and your word. And Lord, in the authority of that, we break every spirit that would come against our lives. We break every spirit that would come against our families, our finances, our health, our future, our destiny. In Jesus' name, we break every stronghold through the blood of Jesus Christ and the authority of your word. And Father, right now, as we lift our hands in praise today, God, we thank you for this great outpouring in the world that you're bringing and that we're so honored to be a part of. But God, I pray you'd pour out your spirit on us as individuals. Father, take us into your miracles in every area. Father, we lift our hands. We lift our hands, God. We're hungry for you. We're desperate for your miracles. And right now, God, we enter in to all that you have for us. Take the limits off, break the boundaries through, and we step into your greatest move in the world and in our personal lives. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen.
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 Amen. Give the Lord a shout.
Give God
a
hand. Amen.
Amen.
Stay with me. Stay up here. You may be seated. The Lord bless you. I think we're going to show, I was going to teach on Bible prophecy. I was going to teach on the steps of a righteous man, but we were talking on the flight back on late Thursday night, and we thought, you know, this Lifetime Achievement Award that we received is, and I mean this 1,000,000%, I'm the one that's blessed to be able to receive it, but I receive it from all of you and all of you. And so are we going to show the video first? Scotty, let's go ahead and show the video, and then we'll tell you a little bit more about it.
Nearly 25 years ago, during his first visit to Israel, God supernaturally changed Pastor Larry's perspective of the Holy Land and showed him how to reread the scriptures through the eyes of a Jewish Abraham, a Jewish Moses, and a Jewish Jesus. As a result, Pastor Larry, along with his wife Tiz, saw the need to share their love of Israel and the Jewish people with Christian audiences all over the world. As an avid student of the Torah, Pastor Larry has been building lasting relationships with rabbis and other leaders of the Jewish faith, and has authored books helping Christian believers discover the importance of their Jewish roots. This amazing journey has also led Pastors Larry and Tiz to form meaningful partnerships with many charitable projects in Israel. In just the past 5 years, with the help of Christian friends around the world who believe in Tikkun Olam, they have donated over $4.5 million towards saving and improving Jewish lives in Israel. This includes supporting the B'nai Zion Medical Center in Haifa by acquiring emergency medical equipment and funding for the construction of a new underground wing of the hospital. To date, they have provided 6 mobile ICUs to Magen David Adom for making life-saving calls throughout Israel, and have funded the building of 18 bomb shelters at the Ahavat Children's Home in Kiryat Bialik. Larry and Tiz have long supported Holocaust survivors in Ma'ale Adumim, and in recent months have pledged to provide major funding for Holocaust survivors at Yad Ezer Lechaver in Haifa. Their special relationship with Keren Yesod through Project Aliyah is fulfilling Bible prophecy and is responsible for several thousand Jewish people returning to Israel. Pastor Larry has been honored to serve as an ambassador for Keren Yesod, speaking at conferences in Singapore and Australia, encouraging the support of Israel by Christian leaders and business people. Pastor Larry's long-standing partnership with the Knesset Christian Allies Caucus and Israel Allies Foundation has been a game-changer in promoting anti-BDS legislation both in America and around the world, in moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, and by establishing faith-based diplomacy and pro-Israel legislation in nearly 50 nations. His work to tear down walls between Jews and Christians has accomplished many amazing things, but there still is much to do to bring healing, build friendships, and achieve unity between our two great religions. He is honored to be recognized here today with this incredible award, and will continue to promote his love of Israel and the Jewish people until the coming of the Messiah.
Hallelujah. Because of you. It's because of you.
That's right.
And that's the thing. Thank you. Take your seat. That's the thing that all of Israel knows.
Yeah.
My family got to go with us. Unfortunately, Brandon and Jen couldn't go. They had to stay home and take care of the grandsugars. But we got to meet several different people. And one of the families that we met the first morning that we arrived for breakfast was a man by the name of Isaac Herzog. And you think about, I want you to understand the miracle that you are making happen in our stream. The miracle by supporting Israel, by helping us do all these projects, our television partners, the miracle of tearing down the wall For the Messiah to come. You know, I joke with our Jewish friends all the time, when the Messiah comes, we'll meet him in Jerusalem. And we'll ask him, have you been here before, or can we help show you around? We may differ on whether it's the first coming or the second coming, but we're absolutely in agreement he's coming to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And for that to happen, Ephesians chapter 2 says the wall between Jews and Gentiles has to come down. So this is not just a social thing that you're accomplishing. This is a prophetic thing. This is Mr. Herzog. Mr. Herzog is the, keep that picture on there. The healing of the gap between Jews and Gentiles hasn't happened for 2,000 years. But it has to happen for the Messiah to come. It has to happen. That we become, as it says in Ephesians, that one new man. That one new man. And instead of the Christian being the enemy of the Jew, all of a sudden we are not divided from the Jew. We are one with the Jew. The scriptures say when if we accept as Gentiles Jesus as our Savior, Abraham becomes our father. So this is an amazing thing of unity. It's not happened for 2,000 years. This Mr. Herzog, when we came in, before we were meeting him at the King David Hotel for breakfast. This is Sam Grunberg. He's the head of Karen Herzog. He's the worldwide head of Karen Herzog. And we're sitting there waiting for Mr. Herzog to come in. And he said, Pastor Larry, he said, I want you to understand. He said, he's one party. We're another party. There's another party. For us to be together in the same room doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. He said, there's too many things that are at odds. But when we invited him to come and you were there, and when I say me, I'm talking about our ministry, he said, oh, I'll come. And so we're waiting there, and Sam was saying, This is an amazing thing. This is a tearing down of barriers. And so when we came in, they said, Mr. Herzog and his family for generations, he said, they're like the Kennedys of Israel. They're one of the most, if not the most important family in Israel, all the way from great rabbis to politicians and on and on. He said, they are like the Kennedys of Israel. So when he walked in, I said, Mr. Herzog, it's an honor to meet you. And he said, Pastor Larry, it's an honor to meet you. And this is what he said. He said, you have a great name in the nation of Israel. And so that means we have a great name. And I mean that. And so when we were leaving, the meeting went so well. He gave me his personal number. He was telling me about these books about his grandfather, this great rabbi, and his father and everything. By the time I got back to the hotel that late afternoon, those books were in my room. I'm wondering how they got in there. But when we were getting back in the car, Shmulek, the assistant to Sam was going, it's amazing how well this went. Shmulek said, he said, Pastor Larry, he said, it's like God has given you a gift. Yeah. Like God has given you a gift of, like you're a hub. And you bring unity between all these different spokes so that we can all be turning the same wheel in the same direction. Can I give you a little bit of something? I'm just finishing. Pray for me. I'm swamped trying to finish this book. One of the things I put in the book connects that. If you read in the book of Amos chapter 9, one of the great prophecies of building the tabernacle of David, of the Jews returning to the land, if you read, and it says, and when we're involved with this, the plowman will overtake the reaper. In other words, when the Jews return to the land, and by the way, where Amos stood, right on the ground as Amos stood, is where you and I are planting those olive trees that many say will be used in the temple for the anointing of the Messiah when he comes. Just an accident, we happen to work in that spot, you know, just an accident, a coincidence. And it says in there that not only will the Jews return, and when this happens, the rebuild of the tabernacle of David, there'll be an incredible outpouring of God's blessing. And he says the Gentiles will be a part of this. But then he says, and the remnants of Edom. Edom, some say Edom are Gentiles, but most say Edom are the descendants of Esau, the Palestinians, the Arabs. So could it be, I had this on the sideline, and do I put this in the book? And I wrote this probably 2 months ago. Could it be that God will do something miraculous? We've already seen Israel return to the land, miracle of miracles. Everybody said it would never happen. It did. we've already seen where Gentiles will bring them back on their shoulders and in their arms, Isaiah and Jeremiah, that not Gentiles pushed them out of the land of Israel. In the, not only will they return, but Gentiles. And that's what we do with the plane. That plane full of Jews being rescued and brought to Israel, you paid for that plane. That's the second plane you've paid for. We met Ethiopian Jews, they're beautiful young ladies from Ethiopia that came to Israel, some of them because you made it happen. But I wrote in the book, I said, could it be that there'll be a miracle of peace in the Middle East and Palestinians will also become a part of this three-stranded cord of Jews, of Christians, and of the sons of Esau? Could it be that they'll all realize we are serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Because that's where Islam began. Islam began to serve the God of Israel, Isaac, and Jacob. They got their feelings hurt. They turned their back on Jerusalem and began to pray towards Mecca. The church turned their back on Jerusalem, began to pray towards Rome. Israel's back. We're back praying towards Jerusalem. Could the next step be the unity? And could this ministry be a part of that hub that brings these things together? I think so. You want to say anything? Go ahead.
Well, one of the things that really, really touched my heart in being there was that we got to meet some of the young people that actually came on the plane in July. And some of those that we had, all of us, had sponsored and paid for them to come in those planes. And at a dinner, we were able to meet them and really get a glimpse into how much of an impact it is to bring one life back to Israel. And there was a young gentleman from Ukraine. I think that just really, really wiped me out because we've been in that part of the world. We pastored Russians for a very long time. And
let me interrupt Tiz, and that's just, she's too humble to say. There's a teaching in Judaism that whenever you receive a miracle from God that spares your life, journey through a desert and you find water, or the enemy and the enemy is defeated, or a sickness and sickness is defeated, there's a tradition in Judaism that you have a big party to celebrate the miracle of God. And so on Monday night, they threw a party for Tiz in this room. It was absolutely amazing. And then they called the kids up to sing a song. They go, we have a big surprise, and Anna and Luke and Kate are going to come up. They had violinists and everything, and they thought they were going to sing, and it was hilarious. And so
it was a lot of
fun. Nobody even knew what was going on, but they were supposed to sing Fiddler on the Roof. If I was a rich man. So that's the ongoing joke. That's the ongoing joke now. And now Luke, Katie, and Anna will sing. So that's
but anyway, it was very, very awesome to be able to see and speak to them about how much it means to them to be in Israel and living in Israel now. And so these were young people. This gentleman in the corner was from Ukraine. Another young man was from France. And there was a gal up here from Kenya, or Ethiopia, I'm sorry.
Ethiopia.
And she got up and she sang and told us about the things that are going on in her life. And then this little gal with the glasses and the girl next to her also spoke. I won't go into their stories, but it was really amazing for us to actually see them. And when we were supposed to go in July, we were supposed to be there on July 17th last year to meet these planes. And as you probably remember, just a few days before, I got the diagnosis and we had to cancel that trip. And so one of the things that bothered me so much, in addition to a few other things, but we weren't going to get to go and experience the fruit of our labor and to be able to meet these people that that we'd invested so much in, and it really broke my heart. And so as this came together, and we didn't know that these young people were going to be there until the last minute. They surprised us. And, you know, to me, it was like part of God's restoration. And anything that the enemy has ripped us off of or tried to steal from us,
yeah, that's a good point,
in any area of all of our lives, he may try. But when we're involved with what God is doing in the world, God gets involved,
yeah,
with our lives and our families. And this was another part of the restoration of God multiplying back what the enemy tried to steal. And so not only just in our lives, not just, but this represented to me that in all of your lives, whatever the enemy's trying to rip you off of, God is putting his foot down, and
right,
he's going to make sure that it's multiplied back into your lives.
Amen. Perfect.
Another thing, and maybe you can talk about this, is can you talk about the pilgrimage road? Because you taught on it, and it was, whew, I can't even speak about it.
Yeah. Well, we sent that back, and we showed it on Sunday.
Yes.
While we were gone. But I really feel that God discovering the pilgrimage road, 2,000 years. 2,000 years. It's been... This is what, and I know you've heard this, but this is what they say about the city of David. It's fake. There's no city of David. There's no Jewish people. There's no history. Yeah. The UN just a couple weeks ago, or last week, made a proclamation that there is nothing that proves on the Temple Mount that Jews were ever there.
Hello.
There's a football field wall that says the Jews were there. But that's what the UN just passed. They said there's nothing there. It's all Arab. There's nothing there with Jews. And now we've uncovered the pilgrimage road that is which is significant, not in just that the Jews were there, but it is absolutely 100% proven,
yeah,
that Jews and Christians walk this road together to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Undisputable.
Amen.
Undisputable.
Amen.
So, yeah, so we're underneath there, and I'm sure I said it in the
video
that we did, but we're about 60 feet below ground. So this was, you know, through years and 2,000 years of dirt and dust and wind, it's been covered. It's 60 feet down below. They've discovered the Pool of Siloam. They've discovered the steps going in. They discovered where the money changers were and where Jesus would have overthrown the money changers and all these things. And we don't have it on there. But because we've been there so much and we have honor with the city of David and with everybody that's involved and how much they love you for standing with me, they gave me my own helmet. I have Pastor Huck on the back of my helmet. So I have my own helmet now. What else we got, Scotty?
Well, we ought to talk about the Antiquities Museum.
Oh, yeah. That's... Okay. Oh, well, let me show you. Oh. Back up this.
Yeah.
This gentleman here's name is Udi. And Udi's family in the 1960s, Udi's a good, great, great friend of ours. And he is an artist. He has a shop in the Old City. We've taken many of you with us when we've gone in there. Udi's father was in the military in 1967 when God gave Israel an incredible victory and the day of the Gentile ended. Remember, the Bible says this begins the countdown for the coming of the Messiah. And in 1967, against impossible odds, Israel defeated their enemies and they recaptured the Temple Mount for the first time since Rome had at the time of Jesus. Udi's father was the first soldier to set up, and while he was there in uniform, went to some of the Arabs and said, "You want to sell?" They said, "We're out of here." And so Udi was the first one there. Udi is an artist who has painted paintings for us for our television program and everything, and he painted a special picture for Tiz's healing on the pomegranate, and I think we have probably copies of that in the bookstore, but it's on the pomegranate, which symbols healing. And when we went in to see him there, he told us, he said, because of the word getting out on Tiz needing a healing and Lion needing a healing, he said, I got hundreds of thousands of emails from people all over the world that we've never met that's, you know, asking how is to every day. He said every day, thousands and thousands of email. How is Sister Tiz? How's her health? How's her healing? And so he said, Jews from China, from Switzerland, from Sweden, from South America. And so, you know, what Satan means for evil, God uses it for good to bring unity. And that's such an amazing thing. And he started now, doing paintings and things showing Judaism and Christianity coming together. He did a painting that we, I think, have in our bookstore from the Garden of Gethsemane, and it's one, and that olive tree is there. It's one olive tree that is older than the time of Jesus, and it's over the years has split into, it's still one root, but it's split into two. And then over the years, it's come back together, and now the branches are starting to weave themselves together. And when you look at the gap, right through the gap is the Eastern Gate where the Messiah will return to. And so it's two that were one, became two, and now coming back together. And this has made such a big impact on him that he's doing art now showing the two becoming one. So it, what you're doing is... Do you realize if the rapture came right now that you would stand before the Lord and the Lord would say, you changed the world.
Amen.
You, because of, by allowing us to teach this and you standing with us and all of our stream family, you have changed the world that hasn't changed in 2,000 years.
Yeah.
That's you are Bible prophecy being fulfilled.
Absolutely.
Amen. So what else we got? And we have about 5 minutes. Oh, here we are. We had a special, special privilege. The most significant discovery in the world in the last 100 years or even more is the Dead Sea Scrolls. And many of you have gone to the museum with us of the Dead Sea Scrolls, but we got an invite to come down and see the original Dead Sea Scrolls. Only a handful of people ever get to see them. They're very, very, very protected. We're actually in the lab where they work every day deciphering the Dead Sea Scrolls and putting the pieces, all the fragments together. And, of course, you know the Dead Sea Scrolls proves that the Bible is... the words that we believe that are in the Bible are thousands of years old. They're not something we just came up with in the last 70 years. But the Dead Sea Scrolls are proof that God's word has never changed. It's exactly the way we read it today. And so we had a privilege of going in there.
Yeah, that was probably the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. And as you can see here, everything...
What was the one they brought out for us?
Isn't that it, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
What scripture was it?
Yeah.
Of all things, for them to actually bring out the parchment in little pieces, it was Psalms 133, which you've probably heard us say a million times.
At least a million.
But we talk about this all the time and the key of what Larry's saying today. Psalms 133 says, where... How great it is for brethren to dwell together in peace. And where there's unity, I will command my blessing. Now, nowhere else does God say that.
That's a copy of it, a picture of it, up there in the corner right there.
That's it.
And that's one of the biggest pieces they found intact.
And they had no idea for a reason to bring that out. But that's the one out of everything they chose to bring to us. So as we sat there in this tiny room with Sam, Shmulek, and all these wonderful Jewish people, the very significant scripture of what we were doing in building bridges, they bring out the original parchment of it.
When you are a peacemaker and you bring unity, God commands his blessing. And let me just say this to brag on you. It's not always easy to buck the go against the tide.
Yeah.
You know, this is Black History Month, and we were going to have a celebration of Black History and everything, but our piano player broke his hand. Oh. And so we'll do it next week because we've got a whole presentation and everything. And, you know, God says, you know, if I trust you with this and you do it, then I'll move you on to this and thing. You know, one of the things that always bothered me when I got saved, you know, I wasn't raised in church. You know, I thought, you know, when I first got saved, I went back to work where I was working, you know, and I said, I got saved. And the lady was a Christian, but she never told me about Jesus. She never told me about the love of God. So when I came back the next day, you know, hair down to here, earrings and there, and she goes, "What denomination?" And I said, "The one with Jesus." And then I started going around church, and in our little town of Flagstaff, Arizona, that then was like 25,000 people, of one denomination, there were seven different churches. Of 25,000 people, and none of them were big churches. You know, there was the white church, the rich white church, the poor white church, the Hispanic church, the Navajo church, you know, then the Black church, and there's a, huh?
Hopi.
The Hopi church. And I'm going, what in the, you know, maybe because I played football, and when you're in sports, you're with every color there is. It doesn't matter. It's a team. And I still think that ought to be the way it is in the church. And so when we started pastoring, you know, we would go out of our way to make sure white and black and brown and pinstriped and polka dotted, everybody was included in family. And a kingdom divided against itself can't stand. And so we ought not be color-coded on Sunday.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
I think it's terribly wrong. I think it's, and sometimes you've got to make a stand and say, no, this is, I'm not making a decision by what you want me to do. I'm making a decision by what God wants me to do. And, you know, I always say there's no Baptist going to heaven. There's no Lutheran going to heaven. There's no Presbyterian going to heaven. There's no Pentecostal going to heaven. There's no black going to heaven. There's no white going to heaven. There's no brown going to heaven. There's just children of God going to heaven. We're not going to be divided up there. So I think that's why God has taken us into this next one, or 20 years ago, of tearing down the wall between races and denomination, now tearing down the wall between Jew and Gentile. Who knows? Maybe the next thing is we're going to tear down the wall between Arabs and Gentiles and Christians. Who knows what the next step is? But it's going to be an exciting journey, because where there, and they brought that out, where there is unity, I will command my blessing there. Get ready for God to command his blessing on you. All right, we have 2 minutes. Anything else you want to show? Anything else, Scotty, that's significant? It's just another award I'm getting. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. I got an award for something. There we are with the general and the family. Go to the next one. Or stay on that one. Is that it? That's it. Give yourselves a big hand. What an amazing time. Stand with me, all of the building. Okay, what do you think the Cowboys will do today? God can do something that nobody's seen before. We're so proud of you.
Yes.
And when I say you, and you and all of our Stream family, because together we are changing the world.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely,
it's accelerating. Yes. Boy, now's the time to serve God. Now is the time to make sure your family is serving God. Now is the time to make sure your finances are anointed by God. Because truly, I'm the kind of guy that the glass is always half full. It really is. You know, it's half full and it's going to get fuller. But boy, you look at everything that's going around. This is exciting times.
Yeah.
And God wants you to be a part of it.
Yeah.
I'd like to have every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around just for a moment. And I wonder if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Larry, you know what? I'm not right with God. Maybe you've never given the Lord your life, asked Jesus to come into your heart. Or maybe you had at one time, but you know, you've kind of fallen away. You know, what if heaven came today? What if heaven doesn't come for 10 years? But right now, God wants to give you a life, and that life more abundant. The ultimate is that someday we make heaven our home. But Jesus came to give you the answers to your life, to your home, your health, your finances, your family, every area. God wants to command his blessing on you. So as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, we have 1 minute to go. You're here today and you say, Pastor Larry, would you remember me in prayer? I want to today give my life or rededicate my life to the Lord. Lift your hand up all over the building and just hold it there. Just hold it there. Because I want to go through the whole thing, and every one of you is important. I see that hand, that hand, that hand, that hand. Please keep it up. That hand, that hand, that hand, that hand. Please keep it up. That hand, God bless you. Lift it up high. That hand, that hand, that hand, that hand, God bless you. I see that hand, God bless you. I see that hand, God bless you. That hand, God bless you. That hand, God bless you. Couple holding their hands together. That hand, God bless you, young man. Young and old alike. Would you give that hand? Would you give them a great big clap offering? Take your neighbor's hands. Cross the aisles. Take your neighbor's hands as family. White hands, black hands, brown hands, dirty hands, clean hands. Unity. We're in this together. Lift your neighbor's hand up. And let's all say this together. Say, Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus. I know I've sinned. We've all sinned. But I know this. You love me so much. You sent Jesus Christ to pay the price in full for all my sin. Right now, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Satan, get out of my life. Get out of my mind. Get out of my spirit. Get out of my body. Get out of my home, my family, and my finances. I declare in the name and by the blood, every curse is reversed and every blessing is mine. Not someday, but today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. What a mighty God we serve. We love you guys.